You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
Well, it's been quite a week. 2 weeks ago, Charlene's brother posted a message in our private family group. And he said this, I'll read it word for word. "Hey family, I don't want anyone to panic, but I can tell you that most employers in North America are preparing for a month of quarantine. We are most likely 2 to 4 weeks from a month-long school and workforce shutdown, but maybe just stock up on some water and non-perishable foods early this week. A month without school, commerce, or utilities may be a 1 in 100 chance, but we are making the choice to err on the side of caution." And we read that, we kind of thought, okay, maybe. And we didn't know what to make of his advice at the time, but literally 2 weeks later, right on the dot, he turned out to be dead right. This week, in the space of just a few hours, everything changed. Everything was canceled, and now new restrictions are in place. And it's good to see you. I didn't expect to see all of you here today and those joining online. But things obviously are going to be a little bit different for a while. They will return to normal. That's the good news. This is all temporary, but things are going to look different for the next few months at the very least. And so I've been really interested. I'm reading a book on pandemics, and I'm finding a lot of fascinating things, that this is not new. I'm actually comforted by how previous generations have reacted to pandemics, and actually how Christians have responded to pandemics. So Martin Luther, in 1527, basically I looked at his example, and he taught me to take necessary precautions and then trust God and serve others. And this is what he said: "I shall ask God mercifully to protect us." So I'm going to pray God protects us. And then I'm going to fumigate, I'm going to help purify the air, I'm going to administer medicine and take it. So I'm going to pray, I'm going to listen to the doctors, I'll avoid persons and places where my presence isn't needed, in order not to be contaminated, and thus perchance inflict and pollute others, and so cause their death as a result of my negligence. So I'm not going to be fearful, but I'm going to take steps so I don't harm others. But then he says this: "If my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but go freely as stated above." And I really like that, just that wisdom of, I'm going to take precautions, I'm going to pray, I'm going to listen to medical wisdom, I'm not going to take unnecessary risks, but I'm going to help people. I think that's very wise. Francis Grimke, in 1918, Washington, D.C., in the middle of the flu that was raging through there, he preached a great sermon. If you look at it, I'll be tweeting about it, I think, in a day or two, but you can just search Francis Grimke, pandemic. In 1918, he said, I love this sermon because he's a black preacher, and he does not hold back. He tackles issues of injustice and wonders what God could be teaching white racists of that time. But he says this, basically taught me, don't waste this opportunity. So he said this in his sermon: "What is the meaning of all of this? What ought it mean to us? Is it to come and go and we would be no wiser or better for it? Surely God has a purpose in it, and it's our duty to find out, as far as we may, what that purpose is, so that we might profit by it." In other words, don't, to paraphrase John Piper, don't waste a pandemic. Don't waste this opportunity. What could God be teaching us in the middle of this? Thomas Brooks, in 1720, again, said this. The sermon was basically something to do with reminders at a time of mortality, high mortality. And he says this: "A time of mortality is a special call to all to rightly number their days." And so this is an opportunity. Take precautions, serve others, ask what God is teaching, and number your days. All of that is very good advice. We don't just face disruption right now. We face an opportunity, a massive opportunity that I don't want to miss. And that's why I want to look at Psalm 90 with you today. Psalm 90 is a psalm of lament written by Moses in response to a huge national crisis. Now, we don't know what crisis it was, But some disaster had hit the nation, and Moses wrote this psalm to ask God to pity the people and bless them. Side note, I'm so glad that the Bible has given to us many psalms of lament. 150 psalms, 42 of them are psalms of lament. And that is really good, because lament is a way of showing up together as God people. Number one, lament is something that we do together. We can do it individually, but how good is it to get together and actually together put voice to how we're feeling and cry out to God? As somebody said, lament is a way of disburdening our cares to Him, and thus, as it were, pouring out our hearts before God. How good is it to come together and disburden ourselves and together just say, hey, God, what gives? We need you right now. With psalms like this, we can bring our emotions to God, fear, anger, confusion, all those kinds of things, and be honest with them about God. God can take your honesty. He cares about it so much that He's actually given us words. If you don't know what to say to God, if you're angry, He's given you psalms to look up, like Google anger psalms, and you'll find sad psalms. Whatever it is, there's words there that He's given you so that you can express yourself to God. And this is what a psalm that can help this. Whatever you're feeling, God invites us to come to Him in complete honesty. You don't need to edit your prayers to God. And so what does a psalm teach us? At a time of national crisis, and we're in a time of global crisis, we don't know how long it'll last. Well, it teaches us four things, and all of these things are important. First, it teaches us that God is sovereign. And so, Aaron, each of the points is going to be on the screen. So this is it. First, God is sovereign. Verses 1 to 6. We have lots of questions. We face a lot of uncertainty. Will you catch COVID-19? We don't know. How long before things return to normal? We don't know. What will happen to the economy? We don't know. Who will win the U.S. election? We don't know, and we're Canadians, so I guess it matters, but not for us so much. But our ignorance is high. And is it ever high right now when we face a crisis like this one? What can we know? Well, Psalm 90 tells us, we can know this, God is sovereign over history. There's not a single molecule, event, or virus that's out of His control. Not even a strain of virus is out of His control. And so verses 1 and 2 remind us that God has always been a king and a shelter for God's people from all of eternity. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or before you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So, Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. You've been our shelter. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. It tells us, God, there's never been a time that you haven't been there for your people. You've never taken a break. And the implication, Moses says, in this time of crisis is, now is not an exception. God, you've always been there. You've always been sovereign, and you've always been a shelter that we can run to. You are a God, and you are a shelter no matter what happens. As somebody has said, I love this quote, God is on His throne, everything is going His way, and He loves me. Those are good words. Like, delete Twitter from your phone. Get a wallpaper that says, God is on His throne, everything is going His way, and He loves me. We need to know that. We need to know that God is sovereign. He is in complete control, and He is for us. Now, Moses does something interesting, verses 3 to 6. He says, okay, now I've shown you God is in charge. In verses 3 to 6, he basically says, and we're not. He goes on to say, you know, God is this. But then he says, God says to man, you return man to dust and say, return, O children of God. What he says is, we are mortal. Our lives are short. We live under the divine command to return to dust. Just a few weeks ago, Christians all over celebrated Ash Wednesday. I don't know if you've ever been to an Ash Wednesday service. I highly recommend you go one day. You line up, and They take the palms from a year ago, from Palm Sunday. They store them all year. They burn them. And then you go up and they take some of the palms from Palm Sunday last year and they mark your forehead with a cross and say this, from dust you came and to dust you will return. You line up for somebody to do that on your head, to say, you see these ashes? This is where you're headed. You are going to die. Moses says, we need to understand that. We think we're in control, but we need to be reminded that we're not, that we're really mortal. As Francis Grimke said in 1918 in that sermon I mentioned, this is so timely. This is 1918, and 102 years later, these words are true. I've been impressed with the ease with which large portions of the population might be wiped out in spite of all of the skill of man and all the resources of science. Suddenly, this epidemic came upon our city and country, and though every physician has been employed, as though every available nurse has been at work day and night, thousands have died, and the awful death toll continued. And then he concludes this, now things aren't that bad. This is a lot better than the flu they were suffering back then. But this is what he says, how easy it would be for God to wipe out the whole human race in this way if he wanted to. For these terrible epidemics, plagues, and mighty forces of nature are all at his command, all are his agents. At any moment, if he willed it in this way, vast populations or portions of populations would be destroyed. And that's what Moses is saying. Look, God is sovereign. And by the way, you are not. You are mortal. You are not in control of this. Our world leaders are not in control of this. Science is not in control of this. Praise God for science. Praise God for our leaders. Praise God for the medical profession. We actually need to be praying for all of those in the coming days. But remember that we can only find our security in God because humans are frail. Only God is in control. He is sovereign over history, even over the coronavirus. He is our hope. So that's the first thing that Moses says at a time of crisis. Look, God is sovereign. He is our shelter today. Here's the second thing, okay? Here it is. Life is hard in verses 7 to 11. Now, I guess you already know that. Did anybody not know that yet? Okay. Life is hard. And we looked at this the other week in Genesis 1 to 11, actually. We live in a glorious but broken world. And verses 7 and 8 of this passage says this. This is going to be uncomfortable for us to read. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in light of your presence. So here's what he's saying. And he goes on to say, by the way, your days are 70 or 80 years and full of trouble, according to verses 9 to 11. So here's what he's saying. This is a little bit uncomfortable. We think a virus like this is a force of nature that can be humanly explained, and that is true. Verses 7 and 8, and actually all societies up till today, have believed that actually there's nothing that takes place outside of God's control and at God's direction. And so how do you blend this? Are you saying that God sent the coronavirus? I don't presume to know the mind of God, but what the biblical worldview is this, nothing takes place apart from God and his will. So somehow this is doing God's will. We don't understand it. We don't understand why. But in Moses says here, look, plagues are not just something that happened. It's actually a result of sin. Now, I want to be careful here. I'm not saying that God has sent the coronavirus to judge us. I don't know God's mind. I don't understand. I wouldn't presume to know God's mind. But what I'm saying is we need to actually see beyond the natural cause to believe actually there is a God who's in control of this world and that this is serving some purpose. Let me back up and put it a different way. A famous book once asked, why do bad things happen to good people? And Moses in Psalm 90 says, he answers the question, what are you talking about? There are no good people. Why are bad things happening to us? Moses says, because we've blown it. Because sin has caused us to be kicked out of Eden, the Garden of Eden, because we now live in the chaos, because we live this life in a world that is not the way that God meant it to be. The logic is this: we're mortal because God is angry. And God is angry because we are sinful. If you say, man, we deserve better than this, Psalm 90 replies and says, we do not deserve better than this. Our sinfulness has led us into the world the way it is. Romans 8 is probably the, in my mind, I don't know if there's a best chapter in the Bible, but if there is, it's got to be Romans 8. But even Romans 8 says this: creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. What have we been seeing this week? That life is hard, that we're groaning. We are not meant to live this way. The groaning of creation is seen in this last pandemic. Everywhere our eyes meet images of death and decay, the scourge of barrenness, the fury of elements, the destructive instincts of beasts, the very laws which govern vegetation, everything is broken. And you see don't you love the pictures of people in Italy singing on the balcony? But don't you hate the fact that they have to be isolated like that? I mean, the Bible is realistic. Why is the world the way it is? Because we live under God's wrath as a result of sin. The world is not the way it's supposed to be, and the world is not the way it will be one day. God is sovereign, and life is hard. Here's a third thing that Moses tells us. So God is sovereign, life is hard. Here's a third thing: you are mortal. Okay, Moses, you're repeating yourself. Yes, he is. This is important. Verse 12, he says this: so teach us to number our days, that we might get a heart of wisdom. Second time he's brought this up. Evidently, Moses thought this was important. Because of our reading the Bible in 40 days, I've been really enjoying reading the Bible. I've been really struck with the themes that come over and over again. The number of times when the Bible repeats over and over again, hey, your flesh. Well, Isaiah says this: all flesh is grass. All its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, and when the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. Only when you realize that your life is brief will you be able to adopt the right attitude. That's why the psalmist Moses says, teach us to number our days. When you begin to number your days, that's the only time you'll be able to live with the right attitude, valuing God and living for the things that truly matter. I heard of somebody suggest this, and I did it. I stopped doing it, but he said, buy a bin. Figure out, if you live whatever the average lifespan is, basically get a marble for every week and fill that bin with marbles, and every week open that bin and take a marble out and throw it away. Well, I gave up doing that. It was sort of hokey. But the perspective isn't hokey. Don't miss, and we don't know, by the way, that we have that many weeks left. A brush with COVID-19 reminds us, don't miss the perspective that your life is limited. Don't miss the perspective that you will die like everyone has before you. And it will happen sooner than you think. And so don't despair. That's not what Moses says. Actually, allow that to push you to enjoy every moment. Remember that everything that you enjoy in this life is just an appetizer for the feast that is to come. Put your hope not in this life, but in the life to come. It's only that when we will die that we're really prepared to live. And so I've been reading Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes says, hey, you're going to die. And I love what it says. So put on your best clothes. Like, go through your closet and get rid of the clothes that you hate. You don't have time to wear clothes you hate. Like, give them away. Eat good food. I love Ecclesiastes. It's like, you don't have time to eat crappy food. Throw out all the bad food. Eat good food. And at the end it says, and remember your Creator. Remember your Creator, because that's the only thing that's ultimately going to matter. Before you die, you need to get a heart of wisdom. A heart of wisdom is a heart that fears God. A heart of wisdom is a heart that trusts Him every day, most of all for eternal life. A heart of wisdom loves other people. A heart of wisdom will not let a crisis like this be wasted. A heart of wisdom clings to Jesus Christ and faces even death with confidence, because we have nothing to fear with death. God is sovereign. Life is hard. You are mortal. One more thing that Moses teaches us. And the fourth thing is this: you can cry out to God. By the way, the last point, I didn't bring this up, but actually is a prayer as well. Teach us to number our days. In other words, what Moses says is, hey, I'm paraphrasing, God, we're kind of lousy at this. We need your help because it's really hard for us to do this. So the last one is a prayer, but here especially is a prayer. Verses 13 to 17, Moses says, return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we might rejoice and be glad in all of our days. Make us glad for as many days as you've afflicted us, as many days as we've seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, your glorious power to your children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Moses faces a crisis. The nation faces a crisis. What Moses basically says is this: Lord, this is hard. In your mercy, please give us a break. Not a bad prayer to pray. In a few minutes, we're going to be praying for those who've been affected by COVID-19. Not just in Canada, because Canada is not the worst affected. We need to pray for those around the world. In a few moments, we're going to pray for government leaders, for healthcare workers, for those with immunodeficiencies. We're going to be praying for the suffering. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for those who will be isolated in our congregation, those who have mental illness, those who can't afford to be alone. We need to keep an eye out for our community and be praying for the community and those in need. It's actually entirely appropriate to pray prayers like the one I saw this morning. God, who in infinite mercy spared Jerusalem from the destroying angel, from plague in the day of David's sin, show your grace again upon us. Spare our family and friends, our neighbors, and our nation from this pandemic. We would rather fall into the hand of the Lord, for your mercy is great. Let's remember God is sovereign. Let that give you confidence. Let's not be surprised when life is hard. Let's not waste this opportunity to take stock of our lives. But let's cry out to God for his mercy. Friends, don't miss out on what this crisis can teach us. I really believe we have a great opportunity right now. This is a great opportunity to get a heart of wisdom. This is a great opportunity to trust God. This is a great opportunity to take stock of our lives. This is a great opportunity to love others. And so, Aaron, if you could put the big idea here, this is what this psalm teaches us. Let this crisis teach you that God is sovereign, that life is hard, that you are immortal, and that we can cry out to him. And so, Lord, help us not to waste this crisis. I pray that it would remind us, that it would teach us that you are sovereign, that you are on the throne, that everything is going your way, and that you love us. I pray that you would help us to remember how hard and short life is, so that we would gain a heart of wisdom. And Lord, most of all, I pray that we would trust in you. Lord, in your mercy, please make us glad for as many days as you've afflicted us. Please help us through this crisis. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.